as a minister. And all of us are ministers. Man, it's quiet right now. Now, I'm just going to say this. I know we got a plethora of little babies around here, and it's an awesome thing. And I typically don't get involved with parenting and all that. That's not my role. You're the parent. I'm the pastor. I don't get involved in a bunch of stuff parenting. You parent how you feel. But I do feel like I have a responsibility when it comes to things involving spiritual matters, to at least give you what my thought is on some things. And my thought is this. I realize our services can be long. I realize Thursday nights we pray, whatever. I realize you got little kids and they've got bedtimes that, you know, you have chosen. This is my bedtime. And if they don't get in bed at a certain time, they get grouchy or they get whatever, or school or whatever. Let me tell you something. Let me just say this. I lost count of how many Thursday nights I fell asleep on the pew. Those used to be green pews, because my mom and dad were counseling people in the office. I lost count. Here's what we would do. The vents up there in the winter, me and my brothers, we'd get our sport coats or jackets or whatever, and we'd go over and we would lay on the ground over those vents, and we'd pull our coats over so to keep all the hot air in, and we'd fall asleep. I can't tell you how many times I fell asleep over those vents back there because my mom and dad were staying until 10, 11, whatever at night to counsel people and help people. I can't tell you how many times. And guess what? I turned out okay. So did my brothers. We got three pastors. Listen, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. And I just maybe want you just to shift your thinking on it. Because, you know, I know, yeah, I was tired, whatever. I just went to sleep. Just go to sleep. If you're little kids, put them on the pew. Let them go to sleep. But the reality is, looking back on that now, I didn't know if I fully understood it then. I think I did. But even today, and I'm way off my notes, but even today, I understood the value and the preeminence that my parents put on ministry. Now, here's the other thing. You say, well, I thought ministry comes under family. It does. We are to put our family before ministry. God, family, ministry. Okay? But listen, it wasn't every single night. I wasn't getting to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning as a 6-year-old every single night. It was one night out of the week. And really, honestly, if your kids get home 30 minutes later than what their posted bedtime is, in the long run, that's not really going to make a difference at all. And you say, well, that's what your parents did. That's what my wife and I did as well. And my kids are, eh. Love you guys. I'm just saying, this isn't something that I would ask you to do and that we wouldn't do ourselves. My wife and I, for years, have been some of the last ones to leave. Why? Because there's hurting people and there's broken people and there's people that have needs. And we understand that if our kids on one night out of the week get to bed a little bit later than what they do the rest of the nights each week, it's not going to be the end of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Well, thank you. I feel a little, you're just going to have to filter that. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you just need to think about the fact that maybe at some point it might be one of your kids that needs some help after church. Now I'm preaching good. So if it was one of your kids that needed help, or if it was your marriage, you would love for somebody to stay a little bit later on a Thursday to help you out of your mess. All right. Come on, if you're going through a rough time and you don't have answers to your questions, you thank God for a brother or a sister in the Lord that says, hey, my kids will be fine. They'll fall asleep on the pew. They'll be fine tomorrow. When they get home, I'll put them, take them a little nap, and everything will be fine. What's your problem? How can I help you? How can I minister to you? How can I strengthen you? You're going to thank God that somebody is willing to make some sacrifices for 30 minutes in order to speak life into you and let you know you're my brother and I see goodness on you. Come on, somebody put your hands together. Give him praise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So we find our calling in the body of Christ. And because we're connected to the body of Christ, that's the only way you're ever going to find your calling and your purpose is if you're connected to the body of Christ. The Bible would say it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So what's that talking about is this. We are the body of Christ, but in the body, each individual person is a particular member of the body. Right? The finger is not the body. The eye is not the body. The elbow is not the body. They are members of the one body. That is us. You are not the body by yourself. I am not the body by myself. We are simply members of that one body. And then a little later, we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 21, watch. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to say to the feet, I have no need of thee. You see, this is exactly the revelation that I believe God's trying to give us this morning, is that it is impossible for one member of the one body to say they don't need to be connected to the other members of that one body and still be able to fulfill their function. You tell me, the eye says, I don't need the rest of you. How's the eye going to do what it's been called to do? If it's just flopping, well, it wouldn't even flop. If it's just rolling around. Sorry, that was a little gross. Honestly, if the ear is just laying on the ground, saying, I don't need the rest of you. I don't need the rest of you. I'm just going to do what I've been called to do. No, you're not. You're not. You're not going to be able to hear. The only reason the ear can hear is because it's connected to the body. I'm teaching good right now. The only reason the eye can see is because it's connected to the body. The only reason the hands can work is because it's connected to the body. If you want to do what God has called you to do, if you want to be who God's called you to be, the only way you can do it is if you are connected to the body of Christ. If you're disconnected, you're gonna die. But if you're connected, you're gonna fulfill the purpose and the plan of God. Come on, somebody praise him. Praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to skip some stuff. Everybody good? Can you stay with me just a little bit longer? I've skipped some stuff, believe it or not. I've skipped some stuff. So it is that I heard the other day, Brother Rima, I did a little study and heard some stuff about the giant redwoods. And some of you have heard this before, I'm sure. But the giant redwoods, groves, they grow in groves, and actually they're called families. These groves, they call them a family of these redwood trees. And I don't know much about all this stuff, but just the little bit I do know is that most trees, especially bigger trees, most trees put their roots way far deep down. Way deep. But these redwoods, which are some of the largest trees in the world, they're not little small things. They are some of the largest trees in the entire world. Their roots only go down between 3 to 6 feet. The largest trees in the world. You would think, man, in order to be stable and with the winds and all that kind of stuff, some of these trees are over 300 feet tall. That's a big tree. You would think, man, those roots have got to go down at least twice that, at least maybe 400 or 500 feet down, in the, whatever it is, I don't know. But they, you, that's what you would think. But they go down between 3 to 6 feet. You want to know why? Because there's no redwoods that grow by themselves. They grow in families, in community. And here's what they do. Come here, two boys. Come here. Run. Run. You're walking. You're still walking. Stand over here. Right here, Bob. So these redwoods, the reason they only put their roots down 3 to 6 feet, but what they do is this redwood tree, he puts his down 3 to 6 feet. This redwood puts it, his puts it, but they interlock. All of the root systems interlock in the family. And because the wind can't blow down an entire family, then the wind can't blow down a single tree. Well, I don't need my brothers and I don't need my sisters. You absolutely do. When you interlock with a brother or a sister in the Lord, the winds may come. And because hell can't destroy the entire church, then hell can't destroy an individual in the church if they've connected them. If they've connected themselves with one another, there's no devil in hell that can blow it away. Stay right here. Woo! Somebody said amen. I'm the runway, I see it. Now, this is something else, and so I just got intrigued now about these redwoods, and I found that, and this is a little bit of science, and I don't want to get too confusing. I hope I make sense. But I found it interesting that the molecular makeup of a redwood tree was far more extensive and it was far more varied than even the molecular makeup of human beings. And as I'm reading this botanist and he's just explaining this stuff, I about started shouting. I'm like, this guy's preaching and he don't even know it. Because this redwood expert said that the diversity and the uniqueness of each tree was vital to the health and the stature of the entire grove. And the reason was because from time to time, there are things that would attack the family. It could be a certain type of bug. It could be a certain type of disease. It could be a certain type of infection. A multitude of other attacks that would have the ability to destroy the trees. And he said that certain of these infections and certain of these bugs and certain of these diseases, this tree in its molecular makeup does not have the ability in and of itself to defend against. This tree has the defense against the thing that's fighting against the whole. This one don't have it. This one don't have what's necessary to defend itself from this particular attack. But this one does have it. And because this one has it, and because this one is connected to this one, and this one is connected to this one, then whatever this one has, and this. So what one tree did not have, because it was connected to the one that had it, it's able to withstand the attack. I'm here to tell somebody, we are members of one body. And there's attacks that are going to come against me that I don't have the ability to defend. But because I'm connected with Pastor Tim, and because I'm connected with Brother Otis, and because I'm connected to Sister Vivian, what I don't have, she's got it. And because I'm connected to her, I've got it. So whatever the attack is, it can't touch me. It can't affect me. It can't stop me. Why? Not because of what I have, but because of what she has. Woo! That's why we've got to be connected with the body of Christ. Stay standing and I'm done. Stay here, boys. They also say, it's been proven, scientifically proven, that they have watched and they have studied redwood trees. Come on, Jesus. Redwood trees that from all intents and purposes, from an outside perspective, they were dead. No leaves, no life, no sap. All intents and purposes, they were dead. But they were still connected. And it might not have happened overnight, and it might have took a little while, but they studied that tree, and they looked at that tree, and the botanist surveyed that tree. And after a little while, they started seeing a little green. Put a little hole in it, a little sap came out. They began to see life. And the next year, there was more life. And the next year, there was more life. Until eventually, it didn't look like the tree had ever been dead at all. It wasn't because of what was in the tree. It was because the tree was connected to the family and life. Flowed from him to me, and life flowed from him to me. And when I felt like I was dead, and when I felt like it was over, thank God I stayed connected to a people that loved me, cared for me, supported me. That's why we need to stay connected to the family. I prophesy in the Holy Ghost, life is going to flow into dead places today. I prophesy life into dead places today. I prophesy life into dead marriages and dead homes and dead relationships and dead ministries and dead callings. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I speak life into you today. And because you're here, because you're connected, you're going to receive life. I can almost see it. Dead things sprouting in this room right now. I can almost see it. Life. Life pushing its way back through. Life coming forth again. What looked like hopeless, what looked like was hopeless, what looked like was dead, what looked like a ministry that was going nowhere, now life. Why? Because you're connected. Lift your voice. Yalorobokotoya. Sata larabokotoye. Ilorobokotoye larabasata. Ah, something powerful is moving in this room. Something powerful is happening in this room right now. Something powerful is happening in this room right now. There's a life-giving flow that's happening in this room right now. Sataye, life is coming. Come on, this church believes in you. This church sees goodness all over you. We're not going to let go of you. Just don't let go of us. I said, we're not going to let go of you. Yeah, you made a mistake, but we're not letting go. Yeah, you failed, but we're not letting go. Yeah, you did some things you regret, but we are not letting go of you. Just make sure you do not let go of us. I know it feels dead inside, but if you'll stay connected to us, life is going to grow once again. So here's what I feel to do. Maybe you need something. Maybe there's some deadness inside of you and you do need. But you're going to get it when you connect. So here's what I want us to do. And I don't want you to necessarily just pick the closest person or the person that's most convenient. I want you to be led of the Spirit. And maybe it might be multiple people or whatever. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I want to release you right now to make your way to where somebody else is in this room, somebody you're burdened for, somebody you feel to pray with, somebody you want to connect with. And I want you to take them by the hand or put an arm around a shoulder or interlock arms in some way, form, or fashion. Let there be a point of connection. And I want you to come to this altar with that person. And when you get here, I don't want you to kneel down. I don't want you to bow down. I want you to stay connected with that individual. And I want you to begin to pray one for another. And as you pray, life is going to... As you pray, words of life are going to enter into that person. As you pray, words of healing are going to enter into that person. As you pray, life-giving source is going to flow from you to them. They don't have what it takes, maybe. They don't have what they need right now. They're short in some areas. There's some areas of weakness. There's some areas of struggle. There's some areas of emptiness, very possibly, in that person. But what you have to know is that you have what they need. You have what they need, and they have what you need. That's how God set this whole thing up to be.